This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mike Shope.
Legendary quarterback.
The Bulldog.
Legendary wide receiver.
You ready for your weekly meeting?
Yeah, we're ready.
Let's do this.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
As Joe just said, Micah Hyde at 4:30. Here's Sean McDermott live.
Yeah, we're still evaluating some of these guys right now. As it relates to Kevin, it's a stinger. So we'll continue to move forward and continue to evaluate as we go through the week here.
And is Coleman is in the concussion protocol, or he had a head injury?
Who was that? We'll see how it is the rest of the week here.
Sean, we've seen the offense have some inconsistencies within the games early this season. From looking at the tape, was there anything different in the first half of this past game than the inconsistencies you've seen maybe when things have struggled previously?
Our whole team, we have a lot of work to do. This week is another week for us to continue to improve, work on our fundamentals, our discipline, as it relates to penalties, our tackling, our catching the football, our blocking, getting off blocks, executing at a higher level. We had opportunities in the game. I thought in the first couple of drives we drove the football. We need to score 7 in those drives in particular. So we got a week of work ahead of us here.
Coach, you had a committee at the nickel spot, with Terrence out, Terrence back. I know you were working him and Kevin in there yesterday, but are you pleasantly surprised by what that committee group has given you in the time that they've been rotated through, and how do you anticipate you deploying people going forward in that role?
Yeah, we'll just see overall in terms of how we deploy, our resources week to week and who we use and in what spots. I've been pleased that we've been, when you look at what Saran Neal was able to do in that role early on, and then Dean Marlowe as well as Kevin and now Taryn. So I think Jimmy Salgado has done a really good job getting them ready to go week to week.
How's Matt Milano looking?
Yeah, we'll see. I didn't have a chance to directly touch base with Matt, but we'll monitor him day to day this week and see how he does.
John, I don't think you're don't mind apologizing for a 5-1 record, but is there a concern that the development that this team has showed and or lack of development this team has showed in some areas could catch up to it when it faces more elite opponents? And it can't get away with making some of the mistakes that it's made against state in the past.
Yeah, that's why we've got a lot of work to do this week. A lot of things, as you saw in the game, that we've got to get cleaned up this week as we move forward and look to try and play better football against a good opponent this week in Philadelphia. And 2 years or just a year and a half or so off the Super Bowl and defending Super Bowl champs.
What does it say about this team that they are winning games despite still not necessarily playing consistent football for all 4 quarters?
Yeah, I think overall it's a sign of the toughness of our football team, the heart of our football team, and I think it really, to me, it personifies this town in a lot of ways, and the people of Buffalo. And the fans of the Buffalo Bills, really, and our players take that to heart. They really do.
In Josh's
six games in his 17 games in his career where he hasn't thrown an interception. He's 5-1. How, from that perspective, evaluating the tape, how effective and efficient was he yesterday in taking care of the ball?
I thought he played a clean game for the most part. He made a really good play on the ball that got batted up in the first quarter there, and that was maybe a game-changing type of play, just a smart play by Josh. I thought the line did a pretty good job of protecting him, giving him time, and then he made plays with his arm and was going through his reads. And so when necessary, or if and when necessary, he used his feet, which was good to see. And so I thought he was smart with the football, and we were able to take the ball away a couple times there. And then, you know, on special teams as well as offense, I thought we played with good ball security.
Cody got a pretty big chunk of the snaps yesterday. How is your confidence level growing in him as he develops?
Yeah, you know, it's growing. It really is. And not that it was low before, it was never low. A lot with our young players, they're going to continue to go through highs and lows. That's the nature of being a young player in this league, and they have to weather that mentally and remain steadfast in their confidence and in their habits during the week. We're counting on a lot of young players, and at this point in the season, they're no longer rookies. So they've got to continue to double down on their process and their preparation because we're counting on them.
Do you feel you're running the ball enough?
Well, we're going to do whatever it takes to win by game plan. You know, I know when we've run it, we've had some good runs, and I like some of the things we're doing.
How did you feel Tyler Kroft played this first game out there?
I think overall, it was good to see Tyler get his first game under his belt in just about over a year, give or take there, and he's worked extremely hard, and our players. The team really rallied around him. There's a lot of lonely moments when you rehab like that for as long as he did. And he's a mentally tough young man with great, great family support and then great, great support from his teammates. And I think the players got a lift from having him out there. And so now it's how do we take it from game one and build on it this week?
How important are those deep, long pass plays to the overall effectiveness for an offense?
Well, I mean, you want to be able to move the ball, whether it's through the air or on the ground, and sometimes it's chunk plays, sometimes it's more of a methodical approach. And so, you know, we had a couple yesterday, and we'll see moving forward, you know, what part of the passing game we need to do to win a football game.
You need to complete those plays for them to be effective, or can just the mere thought of doing it in the game help things just as effectively?
Probably a better question for the opposing defensive coordinator. Overall, you know, probably Coach Schwartz this week. But, you know, I just think that obviously executing at a high level is important for our offense. Yeah.
You mentioned the Eagles aren't too far removed from winning a Super Bowl. How dangerous can a team, you know, they're not having quite the year that they expected to have. They're kind of in almost a desperate situation. How dangerous can a team like that be, especially as experienced as they are?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a veteran team with a lot of experience up front. They do a really good job, up front with their offensive line play, well coached. you know, Coach Dallin, one of the best in the league, if not the best coach up front. They've got an experienced quarterback and experienced players around him. And then defensively, they got a front that's too deep that any defensive coordinator in the league would love to have any one of them, really, just in terms of how deep they are up front and with their secondary as well with Malcolm Jenkins and what he brings to the table. Extremely smart player, does a lot of coordinating what they do back there, got a lot of respect for him as well.
Sean, Jerry, the hustle play he made to pick up the football, that's a defensive end, getting back there to that level, which can you kind of speak to just always having the mindset of going to the football, no matter where it is. You know, I know you run drills and things like that, pursuit drills, stuff like that. But just having that mentality to always do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a habit, and it's a fundamental, really. And we stress it. It's one thing to stress it and coach it. It's another thing for the players to do it, and they take a lot of pride in doing it. You see it out of practice, and that's I think one of the refreshing parts of the game. Or just coaching overall, just being a teacher, is when you see a player take what we talk about in the classroom or in practice and apply it to the game, and that's what you want to do.
Dawson, with kind of a tough drop there on that one drive, he's made a lot of big plays as he's developed here, but what do you say to him, you know, as a coaching staff to try to develop in some of those clutch situations?
Yeah, we remain confident in Dawson. As I mentioned before, young players are going to have ups and downs. All players are going to have ups and downs. We have those as coaches as well, and it's what you do with them. It's what you learn from those scars, because that's the important piece as you develop, that you've got to use those moments to help build you as you move forward.
How does it feel to be 5-1?
It feels good, but we're not where we need to be. And so the process continues in terms of our work. I know the coaches are, players just got, they wrapped up about within the last hour, and so it's important that we learn from that tape, and then the coaches are moving on to Philadelphia and a good opponent this week, a real good opponent.
A lot of guys around the building always talk about what Pat DeMarco brings to the table as a leader. What was it like to see him get a little bit involved in the offense, make a big catch, and then got you guys out of the shadow?
Yeah, real good. You know, Pat's one of our leaders. You know, kind of our one of our lieutenants out there that I really count on him for his voice, his feel for the team, and the intangibles that he brings to the table, as well as his play on the field. I thought Josh did a good job of getting him the ball underneath there early in the game. He broke a tackle and made a big game for us. So nice to see him get involved in the run and pass game. And he's a guy that I think if you pulled most of our players, they'd tell you that probably one of the more favorite guys, favorite teammates across the board on the team.
Went into the decision to make Robert Foster
negative? Just, again, game plan, who we feel like is going to give us the best opportunity to win the game.
How'd you feel like Devin Singletary came through the game first action since?
Yeah, I think overall, again, Matt, with the guys who are coming back, whether it's Tyler asked about earlier or Devin in this case and some of the other guys who hadn't played for some weeks, I think they've, you know, knock the rust off a little bit, and then can use that week to build from. That's good. All right, thanks.
Okay, Micah Hyde had to push back a few minutes, so we had a chance to run Sean McDermott there live from out at the stadium. You learn anything?
No.
Okay.
No.
I mean,
sorry. Was I? No.
No, I just was hoping you did.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Now I feel like
these are tough.
Really, I should have really dug in.
These are just so tough. I mean, I don't know. I also don't think most people really care or mind at all. It's not like a thing for most people.
Right.
It's just like, why didn't Robert Foster play? Well, we wanted to do what we thought was in the best interest of our team. Well, listen, we know that already. Like, of course, that's always the case. We know that already. It's not really an answer. I don't know. You know, they won. It's fine. Most people don't care about these press conferences. Foster is too bad. I mean, Foster,
yeah, I mean,
really
I
was really good, and now he just doesn't have a spot.
I mean, I really, it's a big miss by me. Like, I mean, they brought in John Brown and Cole Beasley, and I was into the summer. We're talking of football regular analysts and fantasy guys, all the same, and everybody's talking about John Brown, and I'm like, I don't know. Foster's good. Don't sleep on Foster. Like, it's one of those things, like, you got to be here to know, right? Like, a little local knowledge. Don't forget about this guy. He was really nice late last year. I know the Bills only won 6 games, but I still thought there'd be a big role, and he just does not exist at all on this team. And it's not to say, like, it's an outrage or anything. You know, I think for the guys they've got, you know, the quarterback is – I don't think he's hindered by Robert Foster not being there. Like, I'm not saying that at all. It's just,
I wonder.
It's just surprising that he's not. You know, I thought there'd be room for him. He's 6'2" and can really run, and was nice last year when they didn't have really any other options. You might think with other options that stuff might be more available for you. You know, you can design some things where he and Brown can, like, work off one another, going deep and using their speed, and it just is not happening, really. I mean, he's played a little, but, I mean, that's been ineffectual, to say the very least.
I think it's ironic that the offense so far has not hit on long balls and been as efficient as it's been on long drives. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't mean anything what one person thinks, or even if most of us think a thing. But I think I know I did, and I think most of us thought it would be the other way around. That if they had the same points, say, through six games as they have, and you were trying to figure out before it started, like how they got there, you might thought that it would be a few bombs, you know, like the way it went for Foster, and not this. But they've had long drives instead. I don't know. Like I really don't want to say that I don't want to criticize it, because there's so much that goes into how they construct their offense, and as intricate and complicated as it is, and that's, you know, with also respect to personnel. Like I don't know if it should be better necessarily. I can't say that. But I know that Foster was a success. And I guess Brown, I think Brown replaces him. And I think they saw that and would still probably say that that's an upgrade. Mm-hmm. And Brown is fine. I like him.
Yep.
But I wonder what another guy like this could do. And, you know, McDermott is always this way. It's the safest path for him, and it's the way he wants it, to take questions like, why didn't Robert Foster play, and just say the thing that is a given. It's underneath the question, and it's obvious, and there's no need to write it down, which is that we did it because we thought it was in our team's best interest. Let's just actually give a business answer to that question. And, you know, game plan. He did say that.
Right.
And maybe against a team like this. Like Philadelphia, here you go. If you want to make this point, this is your time. You want a thing for this week? Am I looking in a mirror right now? Because I probably should be. Do I want a thing for this week? Drop Robert Foster into this lineup. And let's see some stuff, and let's see them throw the ball against Philadelphia the way everyone else is that's playing them with tons of success. You know? Like, here's that spot. Yeah, right. If that point means Miami stinks and we don't need the bomb to beat them, which would be correct, even though it was a close game, you know, here's a game where you're playing a better offense than that, which is everybody's got a better offense than that pretty much. And this is where they're vulnerable.
Yeah. I still, it might be right that was their thought process, but I think it's more, you know, game plan specific. What they want to do on offense is use McKenzie and Roberts on this, those jet action plays, and whether that's to just deceive you or actually give the ball to them on those plays. Roberts was targeted on a deep pass yesterday. I believe it was him. And maybe they just think they've got – those guys are more versatile. They can get deep if I want them to, but they also can be utilized on those little shovel passes. And that's not something that they do with Foster. And they've got Duke Williams now.
Yep.
And Brown took Foster's spot.
Yep.
Is what it is. And he doesn't fit as this jet sweep gadget type player. He doesn't fit as a slot receiver. And so you're just kind of out of it. So I don't know. I mean, I might sit here now and think he's going to have a hard time getting back on the field unless something happens to somebody. As Roberts is in, they value him as a punt and kick returner, even though kick returns don't exist. Punt returns, I guess eventually you hope that that'll pay off for you. He's good at that. Was an all-pro last year doing it, and it's still early. Maybe you'll get paid off there. So he's in, McKenzie's in, and I don't know, where do I go? With Brown and Beasley there already,
and Williams.
This is not a spot.
Yep.
He might be, he just might be cooked.
He's depth.
Yeah.
If there's an injury,
yeah,
then he's available. You know, fine. It's not a big deal. I think this is a cool week, though, coming up. Philly's good enough. They were terrible last night. They've had kind of a bad season, but they're good enough. I respect it. I like the Bills in this test to see what it can be. McDermott mentioned Jim Schwartz. And by the way, that question was, do you think long passes can help an offense even when not completed? And his answer was, that's a better question for the opposing defensive coordinator, as if he, as a defensive coach, could not possibly bring himself to answer that. Schwartz, there's a history here, kind of cool. I mean, I like a lot of what the Eagles are, and I'm eager to see what the Bills can do against them. They are a pretty, they are a small favorite for this game at home, so I'm ready for it.
I wonder, I mean, it, not... You know, we're talking all around why Foster isn't in and sort of accepting it and not making a cause out of it, but he and Allen throwing deep passes down the field was a thing last year, and Allen has yet to really hit on any of those this year. So I don't know if that's familiarity or like what it is, but he's not close on any of that.
Let's try it with this guy.
Yeah, right. It worked last year with him. Like maybe you want to, that, yep. You know, that's kind of what you're saying here. But you're not going to take John Brown out. And like, so what I just explained about McKenzie and Roberts leaves you with no place to go really. But if you circle all the way back to what happened to Robert Foster, I think you still can make a case that they need him. Maybe they're missing his ability to connect with Allen or Allen's ability to connect with him, however you want to view it. Because they are just not – that play does not exist for them. I mean, he's missing – he missed the guy yesterday, I think the one down the middle that landed in the Bills' end zone. I mean, that was 8 yards overthrown. They got open guys. I mean, they're not wide – they're not all alone. You can't just lob it up there. But, you know – it's the NFL. You got a guy running a yard or two clear of a chasing defender. You got to put it on him.
Give him a chance to catch it.
Yeah.
Micah Hyde, when we come back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Now here's Schoep and the Bulldog with Micah Hyde.
Brought to you by Northtown Automotive, celebrating 50 years of serving Western New York. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. By Arthur Pressman, Western New York's traffic and DWI attorney. Your ticket to justice.com. By Computer Search Payroll Services, Buffalo's payroll service with Buffalo prices. By Reed's Gems, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Welcome back, Bills 5-1, of course, after yesterday's win over Miami. That was capped off by Micah Hyde's onside kick return touchdown in the final minutes there, 31-21, the final. Bills safety Micah Hyde joins us now on the Wester Hotline. Micah, how's your day?
It's going pretty good, man. How you guys doing?
I'm all right, Chris. You?
I'm good. We're good. Bills are 5-1. Sabres are 6-1-1. Yep. We're living the high life over here, man.
My son just turned 10.
Exactly. Love you. Nice. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. I'll pass that along. I don't feel like I want to. The touchdown was super cool and interesting. I don't want to start with it though. I mean, let's just talk about the game overall first, and then get to the play. What was this game like for you? I think maybe a lot of us were thinking the defense, which has been so good, would have had an easier day. Is that the right or wrong way to look at it?
I would say wrong. I feel like, you know, yeah, we've been playing, you know, pretty well on defense side, but yeah, you got to bring that stuff every single game. I feel like yesterday, you know, we kind of hurt ourselves in a few areas, and you know, watching the film, that's exactly right. But you got to give them credit, man. They went out there. They ran the ball, you know, pretty well. You know, better than anyone else really has. And then, at the same time, Fitzpatrick was doing the right things, you know, up until I think the one interception he had to Davis. So you got to give them credit. You know, that's, you know, I know the record isn't showing, you know, that they're a good football team, but they were solid, man. They came in and they gave it their all. So. But obviously, as a fan, see the records, they think that, you know, the game should have been 42-3, and that's not the case in the NFL.
Is there any chance that you guys were susceptible to treating this game like the fans at all, like thinking it's Miami, they're not having a good year? Like, was there any of that? Did anybody have to quell that in the room at all?
I think the first thing, you know, after we got back from the bye, even before we left for the bye, you know, that was kind of brought to the table, saying, "Hey, we're not gonna overlook this team. You know, it's gonna be, you know, this game is the number one focus, you know, and all that type of stuff." And you know, coach even brought up plenty of times that, you know, this team going into half has been in every single game other than the very first one against Baltimore. That one was kind of ugly, but You know, going into half, it's been close, you know, with the Patriots, with, you know, whoever else they played. So we understood that it was going to be a 60-minute fight. And, you know, going into halftime, we were getting booed. You know, were we playing well? No, but we knew that it was going to be a close game. And coming out in the second half, we just, you know, made some corrections and went out there and played our type of football.
The boos, I didn't see that coming. I know that all that's being said here about Miami season and yours, and maybe fans were taken aback by the score, but I don't know, like, how do you react to them?
You know, as a player, it's kind of difficult to hear. Obviously, you know, we love Bills Mafia. We know what they can do for us, such an advantage, you know, in home games getting loud and even away games just traveling and making it, you know, a home game for us. Obviously, but as a player, you don't want to hear that. You know, you want them to be, you know, by your side at any given time. But I understand the frustration. So, yeah, I guess I really don't have a definite opinion on it. But you know, we would like them to be by our side. You know, mm-hmm. all the time.
How will you remember? So the game resumes out of halftime, and Miami gets the ball, and it's almost 10 minutes, Micah. I wonder, like, what was being said, or maybe how guys were feeling in the huddle as Miami. I mean, I think he might have had 7 first downs on the drive.
Yeah,
The drive ends with Tre'Davious White interception, which is just his interception, just an exceptional play there.
Huge play for us.
Yeah, like, how were you feeling and what were you thinking in those moments?
You know, the same thing. You know, I think it was the Patriots game. You know, when teams go on these long drives, they get first down after first down. You know, kind of. It kind of bums you out, but at the same time, you just got to, you know, force them to kick a field goal or get a takeaway, which we were able to do yesterday. So just a great play by Tre'Davious and a great play before that by Jordan Phillips to be able to, you know, push them back some.
Right.
You know, as he jumped the snap or whatever and was able to make a great play, almost got the football then and, you know, a takeaway for us. But just a huge play by Tre'Davious, and that's the type of players that we have on this defense. You know, whether if it's one guy making a play one week, then another guy next week, is just everybody, you know, all 11 guys on the defense are able to, you know, be that guy. And, you know, Tre'Davious was that guy yesterday that stood up, you know, big, got a pick for us, and the next drive out, got, you know, punched at the ball and got a forced fumble. So, you know, it was just a big-time game by him.
That's a pretty big spot in the game here, like we've already talked about. I mean, you're trailing 14-9 at halftime. I'm sure that you guys wanted to get it right, and, you know, I don't know how much you want to, if at all, share with us what went on at halftime, but you come out and they get the ball and it's 10 minutes. I mean, it's just, man, let's go. And it takes until right at the 2-yard line for White to make that play. I mean, that, you know, you already said it's challenging when a team is doing that, getting first downs, and you want to get out the field and do your job. Like, at that moment in that game with that opponent, like, that felt pretty heavy.
No, I think, you know, it's just no panic by our defense. You know, it's no panic by our team. I think that we went in at halftime, we all understood. There was no yelling. There was no, you know, bickering or anything like that. Everybody's just chill. And I think that's why I appreciate this team so much and, you know, these coaches, because they understand. Like, you know, we understand what we have to do. We're not, you know, this isn't Little League where we need another pep talk at halftime to get us, you know, going and stuff like that. Like, we understand what we have to do, so we went out, you know, after halftime. They went on a long drive. You know, that stuff's going to happen. But at the end of the day, we were able to, you know, make a play and get off the field, and, you know, that's what's important.
How much was the Jordan Phillips play talked about when you guys went over yesterday and looked at the film? Because I know it came to our attention. I mean, we noticed it right away watching the game, but during our post-game show yesterday, I heard, you know, some people calling in and critical that Jordan didn't notice the ball was out there. Was that point made in watching the game back today and to be more cognizant of an opportunity where the ball might be available?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, looking back, you can hope that he, you know, would have saw the football and whatever. But, like, I mean, come on. He made an amazing play. You know, the ball was underneath him. He didn't know it was, you know, you can't blame somebody for not knowing the ball was underneath him. So, yeah, I think Trent tried to get it after that, and unfortunately he wasn't able to. And Nothing was talked about, you know, with him being more aware of the ball being out because he just didn't know. He didn't know. So, I think it was just made that he made – it was a great point to make that he went out there and did his job and made a great play, and from there we got a takeaway after that.
Yeah, a caller said he thought he was celebrating or something. I did not see that. I watched that play back, and I didn't see anything like that myself. You and Phillips come together on the Fitzpatrick touchdown run. Is that one way to put it? Come together on that play. I mean, that was a pretty good collision.
Yeah, yes, it was. Great play by him. You know, he's able to escape the pressure that we had on him, scramble out, and he was getting the run, and I kind of just turned my head a couple yards. You know, I had a couple yards to get going, and try to get a good lick on him. You know, he was able to make contact and fall into the end zone. So, it's just a great play by him. I tried to lower my shoulder and keep him out. I wish I was, 250 at that time because I could have really ran through him. But, I think it was just a good play by him.
Okay, so not being 250 surely helped you on the touchdown that you scored. I think everybody would be impressed with the athletic ability you showed there on that play, catching the ball, twisting, and then, like, it's almost a dead run as soon as you land there. What are you thinking in those moments?
The number one thing, I've been in some crucial games where, the onside kick didn't go my way. So, I understand how important the onside kick is. Just being in the huddle and even being, film study and practicing, with my teammates, as we were running out there, he was like, hey, you guys just block. And none of that would have been possible, without the guys blocking in front of me. Zoe picked a big block. Julian had a big block. Maine and Porter had a huge block. So, with those guys standing in front of me and the ball up in the air, I just knew that all I had to do was get the ball. And so, also with the film study, that kicker kicks the high bounce. So I knew I was going to have to run up and just I didn't care if I was getting hit. That's why I turned my back. I'm like, I'm just going to go get the ball. I don't care what happens. I'm expecting to get hit. And then when everyone, blocked their guys, I was landed on my feet. I was like, oh, okay. Look, I guess I'm just going to run from here. And as I'm running, I know, I literally had, the voice in my head screaming, get down, like, no more, game's over. But I'm looking at the sideline, and I should have got down, to force the game over. But, it happened. So,
yep.
It is what it is.
I like that you admitted that, because you might think maybe I look bad by doing that. But that's the truth. I mean, I thought about it, but I still went. And your win probability is still pretty good after the score. Am I realizing by what you said at the beginning there, would you have been on the field for the play in Seattle? The onside kick?
I was.
You were?
Yeah, I was on the field. Yeah, I was. I was on that. And actually, the week before that, we gave up onside kick. The last regular season of the game, we gave up onside kick to the Detroit Lions. And then that was a big emphasis for us. So then going into the NFC Championship game, we were practicing for the last couple weeks exactly on what to do. Everyone blocked. That guy get the ball. That's it. That's all we need to do. Unfortunately enough, it didn't happen. So, I definitely understand how important it is to really, onside kick. You never know when it might come, but you got to really be on your P's and Q's when that situation happens.
That's the NFC Championship game in 2014 that the Seahawks win in overtime after – recovering onside kick. There had not been an onside kick in the NFL this year recovered by the kicking team until the Bears last night at the time of yours.
They did it twice, didn't they?
Right?
Pardon me?
I think the one guy called back.
One guy called back. But there hadn't been a recovery yet until then. It's just, it seems like everybody's saying this, it's harder to pull it off when you can't overload on one side.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I don't know if they have to, make it to put it at 8 yards or whatever. But, it is very difficult. I would say that. I feel like if you don't have a running start and the receiving team, attacks the guys, it makes it really hard. And, the kickers are doing everything. They're doing the slow bounce. They're doing the middle bounce. They're doing the high kick. It makes it difficult. But, I guess – just don't put yourself in that position.
Yeah. their guy yesterday did about as good a job as I think you can do with the way the rules are currently. It took a perfect execution by you guys. You're mentioning all these guys that picked up their blockers. Like that ball, if you don't go up there, it could have been dangerous. It could have been close. Oh. So
onside kicks are one of the most dangerous plays. You know, people are just running full speed at each other. They understand it's a crucial point of the game where it's either win or loss. You got to get the football. It's do or die. And some guys, you know, don't really make it out after that play. So it's a very critical point of the game. And like that's why I was just saying, you know, I had faith in the guys blocking in front of me. And from there, all I had to do was just, you know, catch the football. Just focus on the football. And from there, it was game over.
You already mentioned, and you did yesterday and you did again with us just now, that you know, as you're running and the end zone is just there in front of you, that you had the thought, I should just get down and the game is over, we'll kneel it out. Did that get reinforced at all by anyone? Like, did Sean McDermott get in your ear at all about that? Or do you admitting that is enough?
It was one of those situations that he knows I know. You know, it's kind of, you know, one of those looks where it's like,
right.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't type situation. You know, I think I probably got booed off the field by the fans if I didn't score that touchdown, if I would have just stopped at the 1 yard line. But no, all jokes aside, you know, we go over situational football all the time, whether if it's no moss, whether if it's, you know, last play, whatever it may be. And, looking back on that play, yeah, maybe I should have got down, get the offense out there, knee the ball down, not give them another shot to drive down the field, get another, 70, 60 passing yards on our defense. But, if that situation comes up again, we all understand what's going to have to be done.
Micah, we just got a couple minutes here. Did you watch Philadelphia-Dallas?
Yeah, I did. I did, yeah.
I mean, they could not block Dallas. I mean, I don't know. As a safety, I'm sure you would have respect for, say the least, maybe, Philadelphia's passing game. I know last night it went very badly. How tough a test?
Huge test. That's a good football team. Very good football team. They got a very good quarterback. They had some guys out, which are probably going to be back for our game. But, this is the NFL. People don't understand that. It doesn't matter what you do 1 week. The next week is a whole new week and a whole new opportunity. And until people realize that, that's when you're going to continue to get, booed at halftime and stuff like that. You saw Dallas, what was it, the game before?
Jets.
Jets. Got beat by the Jets. And the Jets didn't win a game yet,
Right.
And they bounce back, this week, and they go out there and play lights out. Like this, and they were also injured. So stuff happens, man. Like in this league, it's all about matchups. It's all about, if your defense is struggling and that offense is hot, it's not going to be good. If, your defense is playing well and that offense is struggling, it's not going to be good. So, it's all about matchups. And, I think guys in this league understand that, coaches in this league understand that. And a lot of people outside the league also understand that. Mm-hmm. But, I think that, more people have to realize that this is the NFL and it's all about the next opportunity.
Yeah, if I can say so, as not being someone that plays in the league, I know I agree. Like that yesterday's game, I mean, it's a 17-point spread, and maybe that's also sort of a reflection or why the team was booed like that. But I mean, really, what do you expect?
17-point spread in the NFL. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. I mean, obviously, college is one thing. You've got 63-10 games, but in the NFL, 17 points is a lot.
Definitely, it's been a year for that. I mean, with the Dolphins and. And I guess mostly them, but it's definitely been a year for that. All right, Micah, thanks for today. Good luck against the Eagles, and we'll talk next Monday.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you later, man.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That is Micah Hyde. His weekly appearance here on WGR is brought to you by Northtown Automotive, celebrating 50 years of serving Western New York, by Arthur Pressman, Western New York's traffic and DWI attorney, yourtickettojustice.com, by Computer Search Payroll Services, Buffalo's payroll service with Buffalo prices, by Reed's Gens, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills, and by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Yeah, I liked him. I liked him on the touchdown he scored. Like, yeah, I know. I mean, that's a good way to answer that. It's my style right there. Like, don't maybe you wouldn't think of it. He's saying, I think, to his credit, that he did think of it. He just decided to keep running. On the Bills broadcast, Eric Wood is like talking over John Murphy, like, go down, go down, go down. He was all over it. And speaking of Eric, his Flights and Bites charity event is tonight. Wanted to mention this once. Maybe you can make last-minute plans to get there. It's from 6 to 9 at the new 500 Pearl. And I'm on the Oshai's Children's Hospital website for information about it. I mean, a Google search will figure this out for you. But if you wanted to meet Eric Wood and get to that event, it's tonight from 6 to 9 at that location. We will take a time out and probably talk some more about the Bills. You want to do that with us? 803-0550 is the number to call to do that with us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
We got a good chemistry. You know, it could be better. You know, it's just things that I have to work on, you know, for us route running to get better. You know, just us as receivers, you know, as a whole group.
John Brown, what was that dance about there? The John Brown touchdown dance. What was all that? It was a lot of motion.
There was a lot going on there. I agree. I don't know if he was asked about it. I did not hear the entirety of his post-game meeting with the media, so I don't know.
No, neither did I.
I don't know if he shed any light on it.
It definitely a dance?
It was definitely a dance, and it was. I think it was definitely good.
Oh, you thought it was good?
Yes, I liked it. I liked it. I don't feel like I've seen much that was like really resembling it. Like I thought it was unique. They did a good job. It was only him. There was no choreographed thing with other guys going on. He just did a quick little thing, and it was good.
Yeah, like if I told my kids, move your arms and legs as fast as you can for like 10 seconds. That's what that would look like, I think. They'd be, ah! And I am not here to tell you whether it was good. I have absolutely no qualifications in this area at all.
I am highly qualified to offer an expert opinion on such matters, and I say it was excellent.
All right, you're our Denny Terrio now. Yeah, I mean, no way Joe knows who that is.
Don't ask any questions about why I'm qualified.
Really, my concern should be, do listeners know who these people are that we mentioned? And maybe I went too deep there with Denny Terrio.
Sounds like a relief pitcher from the 70s. Better that is?
Joe, everyone is sadly not old enough to have experienced dance fever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's his loss. All right, well, this had to be short. We went along with Micah Hyde, and that's after playing some of Sean McDermott's, or maybe the whole thing, his press conference today. Is yesterday's game going to really mean anything, you know, other than the fact that they won it? Like, are you going to look back on this game to point to something that foretold what was going to happen to the 2019 Bills? I don't know. I'm with Hyde, you know, just like after the game yesterday. They won it, done, moving on, you know? The fact that it wasn't a bigger blowout or something, the fact that they got booed would tell you that a lot of people in there were expecting it to be a lot easier. They were losing at the time. 803-0550 for some Bills-Dolphins, maybe Bills-Eagles, and look at the AFC, of course. It's a lot of fun right now. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, that is next here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.